Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedusha and Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom of Daf Nun Ches Omid Bey, 7 lines from the bottom, where you can see the new perek, the third perek of Kiddushin begins. Perek HaOmer. The Mishnah. Ha'omer lechavero, say v'kadesh li isha plonis. A man says to his friend, go and marry on my behalf a particular woman. V'holach v'kidsho li atzmoi. And that friend went and married her for himself. Mekudeshes l'sheni. She's married to the fellow that met her. In other words, to the second fellow. Not to the one that originally asked his friend to marry her on his behalf. And similarly, a man said to a woman, he offered her a pruta, he offered her money, and said, behold, you are to be married to me 30 days from now. And someone else came along within the 30 days and offered her marriage. Mekudeshes l'sheni. She's married to the second person. Bas Yisrael l'kohen teichah b'truma. And if that second person happened to be a kohen, she will now be entitled to eat truma, an entitlement that a kohen's wife has by virtue of her being married to a kohen. This is brought in the Mishnah to show us how solid, how real that second the marriage to the second fellow is. A third case, it's a variation on case number two. A man said to a woman, you are to be married to me, may achshov uliachar shloshim yom, from now after 30 days. Ubo achir v'kitshe b'so shloshim yom, and someone else came within their 30 days and married her. Mekudeshes v'eino mekudeshes. She's married and not married to both of them. Now that expression, mikudeshes, veino mikudeshes, indicates a type of, we'll say, a doubt as to what her status is. That's as far as things appear right now. So we say, mikudeshes, veino mikudeshes to both of them. Now if that's the case, bas Yisrael l'kohen, if the man married is a kohen, Obas Kohen Yisrael, or she comes from the house of Kohanim. She herself is a Kohen. As a single woman, she's entitled to eat Truma. If she's married to a Yisrael, and in this case, if the second guy, if these second fellows are Yisraelim, either way, whether they happen to be Kohanim, or they happen to be Yisraelim, and she herself was a Bas Kohen, Loi Toichal B'Truma. She cannot eat Truma. On the grounds that, taking the Aleph case, Bas Yisrael l'kohen, but maybe she's not married to them, so she doesn't have truma rights. In the Beis case, Bas Kohen Yisrael, maybe she is married, and a Bas Kohen that marries Yisrael loses her ability to eat truma. So either way, because of the doubt, she does not eat truma. The Gemara will come back to this case, as well as the other details of the Mishnah, quite extensively. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, which says as follows: Shliach shenishlach lasis peula avur hamashalech. An agent was sent to do something on behalf of the original party. And in the end, the agent does it for himself. Nechshav minag ramos. It's considered underhanded. It's considered an act of ramos, of trickery. In other words, legally, it's binding, but it's frowned upon by the halacha. The Gemara. Ha'imer l'chaver utzei v'kadesh. Tana, the Braisa says, regarding the first case of the Mishnah, where a man sent his friend out to have a woman married on behalf of the original party, and the friend marries her for himself. The source says, Mashal Sa'asui, what he did, and what he has done takes hold. But he has practiced or behaved in an underhanded fashion. The Braisa is quite explicit about that. The Gemara points out that even our Mishnah has that alluded to or hinted to. The Tana Didon, Holach Nami Dekotoni, the word Holach that appears in the Mishnah, we have an arrow pointing to the first, you can align it with the arrow above the first line of the Mishnah, and in the middle of the line, it said, V'holach V'kitshali Atzmo, that word Holach, also Holach Nami Dekotoni, the Holach word that appears in the Mishnah, Holach Baramos, he went in an underhanded fashion. The Gemara asks a question that requires us to compare the Mishnah that we have just learned with the Mishnah in the second Perek. Here, our Mishnah speaks about an original party speaking to his Chaviro. The Mishnah back in the previous parak, in the second parak, spoke about a man speaking to his shlucho, to his agent, telling him, go and marry for me a woman in a certain place. And he, the agent, went and found her in a different place and carried out his agency in that second place. The Mishnah there said that it's not a marriage. So in our Mishnah, the term shlucho doesn't appear. In our Mishnah, the reference is made to chaveiro. Why the difference? Why the change? Or why the difference? The Gemara. My shno hocha dekotoni oimer lechaveiro. Umay shno. We continue at the top of the nun tesom and aleph. Umay shno hosam dekotoni oimer leshlucho. And we gave you the background all taken from the Rashi, the case in the second parak, once again, of someone who told his agent to go and marry on behalf of the sender a woman in a particular place. The Mishaleach, the sender, tells his agent, tells the Shaleach where she is and to marry her on his behalf over there. So the question is, if we look together in Rashi on the third line from the top, Maishna hosam denokat loshon shlichus shesholchoi l'shem kach. Why in that case, in the second parak, does it use the word agency where he was sent for that purpose? V'hocha nokat chaveiroi. He says to his friend, shelo sholchoi l'shem kach. He wasn't sent with a specific mission. Elo im yizdamein lo b'mokom ploni derech etzlo. Rather, if you happen to chance upon her in a particular place, so then marry her on my behalf. Lay out money for me, for her to marry me. The Gemara continues, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking. Hacha rabusa komashmalon v'hasam rabusa komashmalon. Here, there is, by choosing the word chavero, an extra level of chidush, rabusa. Rabusa is something of greater novelty that we can learn. And likewise, shlucho, the word chosen in the second parak, also provides a rabusa, a greater greater point of novelty. Hocha, rabusa, mashu. The squiggle underline you can see here and a few lines later highlights each point. Haha, Rabusa Kamash Malan. Here the chiddush is the Itana Shlucho had the word Shlucho been used. Havi Amina, I would have thought Shlucho who the Havi Ramoi. The description of underhandedness would have been limited only to an agent. The Samcha Daite, when I appoint someone as my agent, I'm reliant upon him. Sovar, figuring, Ovad li shlichusi, he'll do my agency, he'll carry out my wish. Avol, chavero, but if you're speaking to your friend in a, we'll call it a by-the-way fashion, not appointing him as a specific agent, the lo somcha daite, where in my speaking to him I'm not necessarily reliant upon him, emo lo leheve ramoi, I would have thought without our Mishnah, I would have thought had the Mishnah used shlucho, that if it had been chavero, not so specifically designated, then an act like that would not be considered ramos, wouldn't be considered something underhanded. Therefore, our Mishnah chooses specifically the word chavero to tell me that even in the case of chavero, who was asked to do a favor, and that chavero marries her for himself, that is also considered ramos. Hosom rabusa komash malon, there in the second parak, the word shlucho, contained within it a chiddush. Now let's just go over the case again where I appointed an agent to marry on my behalf a woman in a specific place. I mentioned the place. And at the time that I was appointing him as an agent, I had specified the place for the marriage to take place. What would have been had the term chavero been used and not shlucho? So the Gemara explains, the Itana Ha'imer L'Chavero, had the second perek case said Ha'imer L'Chavero, not Shlucho, Have Amina, I would have thought, Chavero, who Dechi Kitsha B'mokai Macher Eina Mikudeshes. That with regard to Chavero, if he marries her on behalf of the original party in a different place other than was specified, then we would say the marriage doesn't take hold. Why? Because the original party knows that since the friend was asked and not appointed as an agent, the Sovar Lo Torach, he, the friend, isn't going to go out of his way to find her. In the event, let's say, he doesn't find her in the designated place, he's not going to go out of his way to find her somewhere else. And with that in mind, when he said marry her in a specific place, he was, the original party, had in mind only that place. He didn't consider that the friend would possibly trouble himself to find her somewhere else. And that's why the specification of a place, had the word chavero been used in the second perek, then the specification of place was to the exclusion of all other places. And that's why if the chavero does marry her for the original party in a different place, the marriage will not take hold. It's a violation of the terms. Avol shlucho. But when you appoint someone and specify him as your agent, the Torah, you consider that he will trouble himself, he'll go out of his way, that if he doesn't find her in the designated place, he'll go seek her out somewhere else, he'll go out of his way. And that when speaking to Shlucho, there was room to think that your mentioning of the place was only to make things easier for him. We call that Mara Mokim. But not to the exclusion of his marrying her on his behalf in a different place. And if he would marry her in a different place, had he been appointed as a shaliach, the marriage would have been good. Avol shlucho de torach, emo mare makamulo. I would have thought, in the case of a shaliach, So the original party mentions a place only as an easy way of carrying it out. That his thinking is, you'll find she's most likely in place A, and that'll be the easiest thing for you to do, find her there and marry her there. But not to the exclusion of the shliach, the agent, going somewhere else and finding her somewhere else and marrying her there, and marrying her on behalf of the sender in a different place would not have been a violation of the terms. Komash Malon, so the Mishnah in the second parak, by choosing the word shaliach, is telling me that even though he was appointed shaliach, and even though one might have taken into consideration the shaliach going out of his way to find her somewhere else, nevertheless, the shaliach, in mentioning a specific place, wasn't mentioning it just to make things easier, but mentioning it as a specific location to the exclusion of any other place. Before we continue, we take note of the Nosei/Mivneh heading in the margin. A diamond appears, and in the Gemara text you'll notice two diamonds. These are Shnei Maisim Shahoya Nireh Keminig Ramoy Savo Be'emes Lohoya. Two stories which initially appear as an act of underhandedness, but in the end you'll see that they were not. The Gemara. Ravin Chasida Ozi Likdushi Le Itzo Livrei. Ravin Chasida went to marry a woman on behalf of his son. In other words, Ravin would give money to the girl on behalf of his son to be married. Kitsho Lenafshein, when he finally got there, Ravin married her for himself. Ah, Vahatanya, but did we not learn Masha also Osi Ela Shinoag Boy Minegramos? What's done is done. It takes hold. It's legally binding, but that's an act of trickery. The Gemara answers, in that particular case, lo yahavua nihale. The family was not going to give the girl over to Ravin's son. So it wasn't a case where she was available for the son and the father took her for himself. She wasn't available to begin with. To the son. They weren't going to give her into marriage to Ravin's son. The Gemara asked, but nevertheless, Ravin Chasida should have announced, should have informed that that was the case so that he wouldn't be suspect of being underhanded. In other words, don't do things that would even give the impression you're being underhanded when in reality you're not. So why did he not, Odoe, why did he not let him know? Why did he not inform him of the circumstances? Sovar, he figured, Ravin figured, Adohochi Vahochi, in the meantime, if before my own marrying her, I would go inform that they weren't going to give her to the son, someone else, some outsider would come and marry her. So in the interest of time, I rapidly married her for myself, even though, true, it was at the expense of the impression that many may have received. Another story, Rabo Bar Barchana Yoiv Lezuzi L'Rav. Rabo gave money to Rav Omar, and he told Rav, Zavno Nihali Lahai Aro, a particular parcel of land, would you buy it for me? Buy it on behalf here is money. Ozal Zavnul and Avshay, and Rav went and bought it for himself. How can Rav do that? Vatanya Mash also Elishanog Bo Mina Gramos. Is that not, in fact, underhanded? The Gemara answers, Bago da Alimi Have. Bago is an area, region of land, parcels of land. And Alimi means tough guys. They were tough guys that weren't going to let just anybody come and be amongst them. They had their own standards. And L'Rav Nagi Be'Kovet, they had respect for Rav. L'Rav Barachana Lo Nagi Be'Kovet, but they didn't have respect for Rav Barachana. They weren't going to sell a parcel of land to be owned by Rav Barachana. And that's why Rav bought it for himself. He wasn't depriving Rav Barachana of something that he could have had anyway. Question, Ibayalei Lo Doei, but Rav should have informed him that that was the case. So the Gemara answers like we saw before. Rav figured that if he was first going to inform that they weren't going to sell the land to Rabba Bachana, there might have been a total lost opportunity. Some outsider might have come instead and bought it. So Rav hastened in closing the deal for himself. As we said before, even though it may have created an impression that he was acting underhandedly, though in reality, nothing of the kind. Here we have a long incident, a long maisa. On the side, we have, I know, say, topic heading. And in this story, there's a very important aspect of social behavior that is brought to the fore. The Nosei, the topic heading, reads as follows. Maisim Rav Gittel for Rabbi Abba, a story involving Rav Gittel and Rabbi Abba B'Rechisha Sodeh concerning the acquisition of a particular field. The Rav Gittel hit Anyein Bo. Rav Gittel was investigating, was showing his interest in purchasing it. For Rabbi Abba Kono, and Rabbi Abba jumped the gun or jumped ahead and bought it. The Gemara. Rav Gittel have a mahapich vahi aro. Mahapich literally means flipping something over. You're looking at an item, so you look at it from all angles. In this case, it means Rav Gittel was investigating the possible purchase of a particular field. Ozal, Rabbi Abba, Zavno. Rabbi Abba came along and he bought it. He bought it at approximately the same time that Rabbi Abba was investigating. It doesn't mean that Rabbi Abba saw Rav Gittel buying it, but he didn't see Rav Gittel necessarily standing by the field at that very moment. But it was at the time that Rav Gittel had shown some interest in buying the field, Rabbi Abba bought it for himself. Also, Rav Gittel kable l'Rabbi Zeira. Rav Gittel went and complained to Rabbi Zeira. Here there's a field I was interested in buying, and here Rabbi Abba came along and bought it for himself. Also, Rabbi Zeira, Kable l'Rav Yitzchok Nafcha. And Rabbi Zeira communicated the complaint to Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchok said, Hamtain, wait, Ad Shiale Etzleinu L'Regel, until he comes to us on the holiday. The Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzchok was sure that Rabbi Abba would come to greet Rabbi Yitzchok on the holiday, which is the time that people gather together and go and visit the Rabbonim. And in fact, Kisolik, when Rabbi Abba came up, Ashkeche, he met Rabbi Yitzchok. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchok asks Rabbi Abba, Oni Mahapich Becharora. Imagine a poor man eyeing a loaf of bread, a charora, a loaf. Ubo acher v'not lo heimenu, and someone else comes and takes it for himself. My, what would you say? How would you describe that second fellow who took the loaf that the oni was had his eyes on? Omar Le, Rabbi Abba says, Nikro Rosha, a person like that's called wicked. Oh, ve'elo mor, my time over, hachi. So then why did you behave in a similar fashion, buying a field that Rav Gittel was interested in? Omar Le, lo havi yadana. Rabbi Abba says, I didn't know that Rav Gittel was involved with that field. Well, hashtonami nesva nihale mor. So Rav Yitzchok says, okay, you didn't know at the time, but now you should transfer the field unto him. Omale, so Rabbi Abba says, Zavuni lo mazvina la. As far as selling the field to Rav Gittel, that I'm not prepared to do. Diaro kamai sahi. The land is the first land that I ever bought. V'lo misamno milsa. Rashi says, V'lo misamno milsa, almost halfway down, Rashi says, Eino simin toiv. It's not a good sign. Shimko odo mekhoi harishon. The person should sell his first acquisition. In our parlance, we might say, it's not good luck. E boy, b'matono nishkale. However, if he wants, I'm willing to give it to him as a gift. In other words, the simin the simin ra, the bad sign or the bad luck, is selling your first purchase. But taking your first purchase and giving it as a gift, that wouldn't be a problem, and I'm willing to do that. Rav Gittel lo nochis lo. Rav Gittel, though, did not descend into the field. He didn't accept the gift. Tichtiv soine matonas yichya. He who has disdain toward gifts shall live. So, as far as Rav Gittel was concerned, accepting the gift would have been tantamount to shortening his life. So he didn't accept it. He didn't accept it as a gift. Rabbi Abba lo nochis lo. Rabbi Abba refused to descend into the field, to use the field, to benefit from the field. Mishum dafik Rav Gittel, because after all, Rav Gittel had been interested in it. Lo mor nochis lo, v'lo mor nochis lo. Not he, nor he, not Rav Gittel, nor Rabbi Abba went into the field, took possession of the field. Umiskaria, and that very field is now referred to as Aro de Rabbonan. The land, the property that was declared hefker to the Talmidim, hefker unowned, and hence in the general ownership, if you will, of the rabbis. We continue. Here the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, V'cheinu oimer li'isha hiskat shivim. And what did we see in the Mishnah in case number 2? A man said, be married to me, li'achar shloshim yom, after 30 days, and someone else came along and married her within the 30 days. The Mishnah ruled she's married to the second fellow. On the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei/mivneh heading, a double underline appears. Shnei tasritim, two scenarios, shel lo bo acher toich shloshim yom, where some second person does not show up within 30 days. Our Mishnah described the person, Mr. A, saying, marry me after 30 days, and someone else came within the 30 days. What happens if no second person comes within the 30 days? We turn now to the Gemara. Lo bo acher v'kitsha b'sof shloshim mahu. And let's say no one else came within the 30 days. What is the din? Rav u'Shmuel amitravayu. Both Rav and Shmuel agree. Mikudeshes. She's married to the first fellow. And here is the novel point. And by the way, take note that we have, this is a long marking, a long answer. We say that she's married to the original fellow, v'yafalpi shenis aklu hamois, even though the original marriage money is no longer there at the 30-day mark. Literally, the money has been consumed. So even though the marriage money isn't there at the 30-day mark, the original offer of the money was successful in creating the marriage, as long as you reach the 30-day mark, and no one else had married her in the interim. My taimo, why is this the case? Answer, hani zuzi, lo le milve domu, v'lo le pikodon domu. The money that the man gave to the woman, telling her, be married to me after 30 days, is not parallel to a loan, and it's not parallel to a pikodon. Just, we have to pause for a moment and think, what would be if it was compared to a milveh? So a milveh is a loan. We know that if a man had extended a loan to a woman and then said, after she borrowed the money, he says to her, you know, you owe me money, and instead of paying me back, be married to me. That's called hamakadish b'milveh, trying to marry her with a loan that is she owes him. And we say eina mekudeshes, she's not married. Why? Because at the time he makes the marriage offer, he's not giving her anything. He had originally extended a loan to her, but we have a principle, milveh lo hitzonitna. Loan money, when given to the borrower, is understood to be spent. Person borrows money in order to spend it, so it's viewed as spent immediately, so that it's not around anymore when the lender offers marriage to her in exchange for the outstanding debt. So at that point, he's not giving her anything. A pikadon, and I just emphasize that in our case, when you reach the 30-day mark, there is no money that's left. She spent it already. We say that the case is not like a pikadon either. What is the rule in a pikadon? A pikadon is an entrusted article. If a man entrusted something to a woman to watch for him, it's not a loan, it remains the owner's, and in the meantime, the man says to the woman, you know, I gave you something to watch for me, keep it for yourself as marriage money, take it as my offer of marriage to you. We say that if the original item is still intact or part thereof, so the marriage is binding. But if nothing is left of the entrusted item, then she's not married. Here we're saying that even if there is no original marriage money left, she is married. And the Gemara explains. We presented the 2 points. Aleph, it's not like a milva, and Beis, it's not like a pikon. The Gemara presents the two and elaborates them, but in reversed order. First, the pikodon, le pikodon lo domu, pikodon birshusa demora komis akli. When a pikodon is given to a shomer, when someone's given a shomer, someone that will watch the item, if it's consumed, if it is used up somehow while in the domain of the shomer, it's still viewed as if it's been used up in the domain of the original owner. In other words, it's still under the ownership of the original party. The honey, the marriage money in our case, she consumed it in her own, while it was in her possession. He didn't give her the money to watch for him. He gave her the money as marriage money to take hold 30 days later. So when she used the money in the interim, she was using it under her own domain, her own control. L'milvenami lo domu, the money given to her is not viewed as a loan either. Milva lo hitso nitna, when a loan is given, it's given for the purpose of expenditures, for spending, even immediate spending. Hani, the marriage money wasn't given as a loan, but Torah's Kiddushin Yahavinu Nihala, it was given to her as marriage money, so that the standards that would have applied to a man marrying a woman in exchange for a pikodon or a milva are not relevant or do not apply to our case, as we just demonstrated. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, and we also have some structural business to deal with. As you might have noticed already in the Gemara, we have a Roman numeral number 1, and when you get to Amud Beis, you'll see a Roman numeral number 2. So on the side, we have the following. Kidesh Isha li'achar shloshim yoim. A man offers marriage to a woman after 30 days. V'chazra, v'omra efshi bohen. After the man made the marriage offer of marriage, be married to me after 30 days. And then she backs out. She says after a while, before the 30-day mark comes, she says, I don't want to go through with this. Haim amrinon dosi dibur mvato dibur. Do we say that her dibur, her speech, her declaration of dissatisfaction cancels the original expression of his offer of marriage to her? So does a second declaration undo an initial verbal declaration? The main players, the main opinions in this Gemara, you will see Rabbi Yochanan. He says Choseres, she can back out. The verbal dismissal on her part is effective. Reish Lakish says Eino Choseres. No, the verbal dismissal on her part is not effective. We're going to see then a structural phenomenon of Roman numerals 1 and 2, and we continue reading our note. Shnei Lishonos, there are two versions. Al Eze Bovet Shela Mishne Muvo Machlikis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as you can see, have a disagreement regarding what section of the Mishnah does their disagreement apply. E Osi Dibur Umavatal Dibur. Their their machlok is concerning a second verbal declaration undoing an initial one. Additionally, you're going to see the use of triangles with the point facing up, kushus al Reish Lakish, questions against Reish Lakish, and the inverted triangle, kushus al Rabbi Yochanan. Allow your eye, as we often suggest in Gemara markings, to survey the daf. You see how we've underlined the main names, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We've presented their opinions. Rabbi Yochanan holding the back out is effective, Reish Lakish saying no, and then the questions as they appear. The first two questions are raised against Reish Lakish, a third question where Reish Lakish asks on Rabbi Yochanan, and then when you get to Amud Beis, several lines down from the top, a Roman numeral number 2 appears, where Rav Zvid says that the Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, was going on a different Tanaic quote. The Gemara, Roman numeral number 1, Lo bo acher v'kidsha v'chazer bo. No one came within the 30 days to marry her. However, she backed out within the 30 days, saying, I can't go through with it. Mahu. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Choseres. She is able to back out simply by her verbal declaration, I don't want to go through with it. And on what grounds? Alsi Dibur, Mavatel Dibur. The second speech, the second declaration, her declaration, undoes his offer of marriage. Reish Lakish Omar, Eino Choseres. There is no room for backing out. She cannot back out. In other words, verbal reversal is ineffective. Lo osi dibor umevatel dibor. The expression of rejection is not mevatel. It doesn't undo the money that was given to her. It might be worth pointing out now. Certainly, it will become clear later. The starred note in the margin reads, Yesh lehoir, there is room to point out, al pi hemshich ha-gemora, based on the continuation of the Gemara, te kavonas hamilo dibor, the use of the word dibor, which translates as speech, bekesher lenesinas mois liado isha, with regard to the initial giving of money to the woman. What does the word dibor mean? Hainu shehu eino maise gomor. It's not a complete, it's not a full-fledged action. However, it's a little more than mere speech. Initially, the man physically gave cash to the woman with his offer of marriage. So, we'll see a little later that to undo that, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, her mere verbal rejection is not enough. Rabbi Yochanan says it is enough. We continue. Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We have a Tanaic source. It's a bit terse. So just what is the background to it? A man appointed an agent to tithe his truma tithe from his produce. And at a certain point, the original produce owner wanted to mevatel, wanted to cancel the agency. So the source says bitel. The original owner canceled the agency, the agent that he had appointed for tithing. Imad shelo toram bitel. If before the agent did the physical separation, it's an effective cancellation, and therefore, ein truma so truma. If the agent would go ahead and tithe anyway, after his agency was canceled, so the tithe is not recognized as a tithe. The ahaha, what do we see here? Here, the dibor, who? There was a verbal appointing of agency, And then there was a verbal cancellation of the agency. Again, v'ha'acha de dibor v'dibor hu, v'ka'asi dibor umavatel dibor. And we have a case in point of the second verbal comment, statement, undoing the first. So is this not a challenge to Reish Lakish's ruling? The Gemara answers, it's not a challenge. Shiny Nesinus Mois Liadisha, the initial giving of the money to the woman in exchange for her marriage, the Chimaisa Domu, that's like an action. The Loasi Dibor, her subsequent rejection, verbal rejection, is not strong enough, Umavatal Maisa, to undo the giving of the money that took place initially. So Reish Lakish acknowledges, of course, the Tanaic source that says you can cancel agency that was appointed initially verbally through a verbal cancellation, but that doesn't mean that a woman can verbally cancel or reject the marriage within the 30 days after she had physically received money. Esve, well, we try again to ask on Reish Lakish. Hashaleach get lishto, man sent a divorce document through an agent to his wife. Vigia bashaleach, and the husband sent went himself, or I should say the husband met up with the agent. Oshesholach achrov shaleach, or the husband sent a second agent in pursuit of the first agent. The Omar loy, and said to the initial agent carrying the get shenosati loch botelhu, the get that I gave you is void. Hareza bitel, that is a cancellation. Faha nesinas get liad shaliach dechi nesinas mois liad isha domi. Here we are creating a parallel. The giving of the divorce document into the hands of the agent is similar to giving of the money to the hand of the woman in marriage. Vikotoni, and nevertheless it says Hareza Bitel. The verbal cancellation of the agency is effective in undoing the initial handing over of the divorce document to the agent. The Gemara says, no, they're not parallel cases. You cannot ask on Reish Lakish from this source. Hasam Nami, in the case of the get, as long as the get did not reach her, it's nothing. Dibor v'dibuhu. It's speech against speech. And therefore, osi dibor, umavatil dibor. Therefore, I, Reish Lakish, will acknowledge a case where the initial action is not an action at all. It's nothing. Merely giving a divorce document at the hands of an agent. You know, that doesn't do anything per se. It doesn't change her status one iota. So, in a case like that, the subsequent cancellation is effective. But where money was given to the woman herself in marriage, simply with a time delay built in, that's already more significant. That's like a maisa. That's like an action. And the subsequent cancellation is not effective on her part. Now the tables are turned. Reish Lakish presents to Rabbi Yochanan a challenge where we're going to see that a second dibor, non-action, is incapable of canceling a first dibor, a first non-action. The Tanaic source we're about to learn is from certainly a different realm of halacha. It has to do with the topic of defilement of vessels, and at what point does a vessel in its formation become a vessel. So let's speak in general terms before we go into the text, just to familiarize ourselves with some of the ideas we're going to see in the text. There are vessels that one constructs, manufactures out of, let's say, raw wood. A complete vessel, when it's complete with all its trimmings, And if it's a, let's say, a decorated vessel, and we speak about all its trimmings, that means after the last little carvings are made, only when it's completely finished will it be fit or susceptible for absorbing tumah. Prior to that, tumah defilement. Prior to that, it's called a golme kelim, golme or golem, an unformed vessel, an incomplete vessel, and as such, it's not capable of becoming defiled. In the making of the vessel, you could reach a point where it's functional, even though it doesn't have its final trimmings to it. If you plan to add the final trimmings, so it's not going to be mekabel tuma. It's not susceptible to tuma until you actually put on those final trimmings, final carvings, final decorations. However, if you decide, and note, I say decide, you're dealing with something that's of a non-action nature. It's a machshova. It's like dibor. It's non-action. If you decide to use the vessel before its final touches, in other words, you decide, I'm going to use it as it is without the final touches, and it has in fact reached the point where it's useful. It just is lacking the final decorations, the final carvings. That makes the vessel susceptible to tuma. Let us add that a vessel that has already become defiled, in order for it to be purified, so standard procedure is bringing it to a mikveh, a rituarium. It would be immersed, and after the immersion and the sundown, the vessel would be purified. There's another method, and that is to essentially destroy the vessel, or maybe more accurate, make it dysfunctional. If it's a vessel for holding liquids and you punch a hole in it, so the liquids will not stay in the vessel, they'll flow right out. You've made the vessel essentially dysfunctional. There are more examples. We're not exhausting the entire topic. We're just sharing some ideas, and not to the exclusion of other examples, other details. So a vessel that's already become tumei, in order for it to lose its tuma, you would have to do an action to it like we described, punching a hole in it. A vessel that hasn't become tumei, hasn't been defiled, but you decided upon it as being a complete vessel, even though it's that kind of thing that people would ordinarily add trimmings to. At that point, it's once you've decided not to add the trimmings and use it as it is, it's said to be roi lekabel tuma. Can you make a vessel like that not roi lekabel tuma anymore? Can you, for example, once you decided to use it as it is, can you then change your mind and say, no, I really do want to add additional trimmings? Would that make it such that that very vessel is no longer subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, to Tumah absorption, until you actually put on the final trimmings, once you had decided earlier not to do so? Now, the Gemara. Eisvei Reish Lakish the Rav Yochanan. Kol hakelim yordim lidei tumasan b'machshava v'in oilin midei tumasan elo b'shinui maisa. You should note, by the way, that we have a long marking to show you the extent of Reish Lakish's point, Reish Lakish's question. The source tells us so far that all vessels descend to the realm of defilement, meaning those vessels that are in there, forming stages. They're called golme kelim. They become subject to tuma absorption through machshava, through your mere planning or mere thinking about it. As we described before, a vessel that ordinarily has final touches put on, final carvings, decorations, and before you actually put them on, you decided, I don't want them, I'm going to use the vessel as it is. That's what the term Yordun Midei Tumah Son B'Machshava means. And in contrast, the Oilin Midei Tumah Son, they don't leave the realm of Tumah. Elo B'Shinui Maisa. Now what do we mean, leave the realm of Tumah? So within that, there are two possibilities, as we already explained. There's the vessel that actually became defiled, or a vessel that you decided to use it as it is, making it thereby susceptible to absorption of Tumah. Regarding those two situations, we say they don't leave the realm of defilement, either actual purification from actual defilement, or leave the realm of susceptibility, unless you do an action to it, a physical action. If we look in Rashi, we'll see these two points. We've noted, we've marked the Rashis with an aleph and beis. You can see starting four lines from the very end, V'ein oilin mitumasun mishikiblua. Mishikiblua means once the vessel absorbs actual defilement. Elo b'shinui maisa, unless you do a physical action, shi'asibo maisa lekalkulam, that you do some type of action to the vessel to ruin them, shi'ashabrim, or yinakvim, you break them, or punch a hole in them. Beis, v'chein, another scenario, achlo yikavlu tuma, or a vessel that hasn't actually become defiled, but it's become a vessel that's susceptible to tuma absorption. Ein oilin mituras kabolas tuma shi yordu b'machshavazu. The vessel cannot leave the realm of tumah susceptibility, though it achieved that through your mere thoughts. Remember the case where it's a vessel that you would ordinarily put on final trimmings, but you decided not to. You decided to use it as it is, so that it was your duba machshavazu. How does it leave the realm? Elo b'shinoi maisa. An action would have to be done. What would the action be? Here, it's not a function of punching a hole in it, but ad shiyaschil lashuf l'shabetz u'legarer, until you would start to sand it down, to make different carvings in it, and use do some type of scraping action to it. That would show that through an action, not just through something declarative, that would show that you don't want it to be considered a final vessel as is anymore. Let's continue in the Gemara. We continue on to Omid Beis, the top line. Maisa moitzi miad maisa u'miad machshava. A subsequent action can undo an initial action, can certainly undo something of a mere thought. Rashi at the top says, Maisa moitzi miad maisa, hischil loshuf, when you start smoothing down a vessel, bitel mehem toras gemar melocha l'shem kli, you are thereby undoing the status that it may have had till that point, being a complete vessel. Bein shiyard lahu al yedei maise shehechlikon vegila daito shem chusaron ol tikun. Whether it became suspect to tuma because you did the final sanding down, hechlikon, to smooth it out, whereby you showed that you're not interested in doing anything further. The sanding down process would be, let's say, the final stage. If that's what you did, showing that you're not interested in doing anything further, bein shiyard lahu al yedei machshava, or whether the vessel became suspect to tumah simply because you decided to use it as it is. In order to undo that status, you'd have to have a subsequent maisa, like, as we said, additional scraping away at it, or adding more decorations. That is a second maisa that would undo the initial maisa, which had established it as initially being susceptible to tumah absorption. However, machshava, mere thoughts, ein motzia, thinking to add, let us say, more to a vessel, thinking to add additional decorations, thinking to continue scraping the vessel, that doesn't motzi, that doesn't alter the status of having become a vessel with the tumor ramifications. Lo miyad ma'aseh, lo miyad machshava, mere second thought, subsequent thought to continue processing the vessel doesn't undo the initial action that created, that made it into a vessel, or the initial thought that established it as a vessel as is. Bishlamo miad ma'aseh lo mafka. I understand that a subsequent thought to continue carving decorations into the vessel doesn't undo an initial action to losi dibur mavatal maisa. A mere plan to continue adding decorations isn't going to undo the initial sanding down of the vessel, which established it as a vessel. Right? So that dibur, thoughts, even if they're having verbalized, isn't going to undo an action. Elo miyad machshava miotapik. According to you, Reish Lakish says to Reb Yochanan that Osi Dibur Mavatil Dibur, why not say that the subsequent Machshava can undo an initial Machshava? And you see that it does not work. So you see, like my position. The Gemara responds, Shiny Machshava de Tumo, the thought that went into making the vessel subject to Tumo, subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. In other words, you were crafting a wooden vessel that ordinarily has decorations that are added to it in its final stages, but you had a machshava not to go that far, but to use it as is. That's a machshava de Tumah. That machshava, dechi maisa domi. That's like a maisa. It has the status of a maisa, and therefore the machshava shnia, the second machshava to continue adding decorations and carvings, doesn't have the strength to undo that first machshava that had a status of a maisa. Uchid Rav Papa. And this is based on Rav Papa, i.e. this concept of an initial machshava that imparts to a vessel the possibility of absorbing tuma is considered like an action. What does Rav Papa say? The Rav Papa Rami. Rav Papa raises what appears to be an inconsistency or a contradiction in the verses. And here we're not dealing with two separate verses, but rather we're dealing with the way the verse appears in the Torah, the way it's spelled, the way it's actually read. Sometimes the spelling of the word, if we didn't have a tradition in how to read it, you would have read it differently. So you have here ksiv ki itain. This pasuk has to do with water appearing on vegetation. And water makes vegetation, makes fruits, vegetables subject to Kabbalah's tumah. So we're dealing with the topic of tumah absorption, which is our general discussion. And Rav Papa tells us that on the one hand, it says ki itain, ki itain mayim al zera. Ki itain means when you physically, proactively put water on the fruit. You want to wash off the fruit, so you put the fruit in water. The karinon, when it comes to how that is read, it's not read ki itain, it's read ki yutan. Yutan is the verb form in the passive sense. Water fell onto. Not that you proactively put the water on the fruit, but water fell onto the fruit. And we say, how do you How do you resolve the way the word appears versus the way the word is read? Ha ketzad, ki yutan dumya dechiyitein. The fruit will be subject to tuma when the water that fell on it passively, i.e. without your putting the water onto the fruit or putting the fruit into the water, but the presence of the water in a, we'll call it in a passive sense, will make the fruit subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. That's, we call that in rabbinic jargon, Machshir LeKabbal Tumah. Machshir the fruit LeKabbal Tumah, or Muchshor LeKabbal Tumah, when it's Dumya Dechiyitein, when the passive phenomenon is similar to the proactive phenomenon. Ma Yitein the Nichole, when you proactively put water on the fruit, you wash off a fruit, Nichole, you want the water to be on the fruit. Nichole, it's pleasing to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it. So just like yitain is something that you're pleased with, af yutan de nichole, so too, water that you didn't put on the fruit but fell on it anyway, if you are happy with the fruit being wet, it's as if you put the water on the fruit. And it's mukhshar lekabel tuma. So what do we see from this? We see that the creating of a situation of susceptibility to tumah absorption, even if it's done in a passive fashion, it's like an active it's like something of an active nature. So that's what the Gemara mentioned before, that shiny machshava d'tumah d'chi ma'isa domi. It's when you have a plan, when you have interest in something becoming susceptible for tumah absorption, it's as if you did an action to it. So Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, okay, in that case, the subsequent machshava can't undo the initial machshava that's categorized as an action. But an initial machshava that's not viewed as an action, but an initial machshava that's merely a machshava or mere speech, can be undone by subsequent mere speech. Rav Zvid Masni Lahosh Maitza, Rav Zvid teaches this Amoraic disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, namely the issue of Asi Dibur Mavatal Dibur Aho, regarding the following Tanaic source. This is a Mishnah from later on in the tractate. It says, V'chein hi shenosna reshus l'shlucha l'katsha, a woman gave permission to her agent to accept marriage money on her behalf. V'holcha hi v'kitshas atzma, and the woman herself, after appointing an agent, she went and married herself off to someone else. Im shela kidmu, if her marriage, the acceptance of money on her own, came before the agent's acceptance of money from the first fellow, kidushel kidushin, then her marriage that she accepted is the marriage. Im shel shlucha kidmu, if the agent received the money on her behalf before, then ein kidushel kidushin, then her acceptance of marriage from the second man is of no concern, is not binding. We continue now based on this source with a scenario. Lo kitshu es atzma v'chozra bo mahu. Let us say the woman who sent the agent didn't accept money from a second man, but rather backed out. She told us that she is not interested in the agent continuing in his mission. Mahu, what is the din? Does her backing out of the agency constitute a voiding of any continuation on the agent's part on her behalf? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chozeres. Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, she can back out. Reish Lakish Omar Eino Chozeres. No, she can't back out. Now, it's pointed out by Tosfos that when we speak about her backing out, it's not a case where she goes to the agent before he accepted money on her behalf and said, I don't want you to marry me off. I don't want you acting on my behalf. That's obvious that if the agent would go ahead and still accept money, she would not be married. Therefore, Tosfos is pointing out that when the Gemara says Chozrba, she's backing out, it's without her direct speech to the agent himself. So, can she back out? So Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, and Reish Lakish says no. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Chozeres, her subsequent expressed disinterest in continuing on with the marriage is effective. Asi Dibor, Mavatil Dibor, her second speech, her dismissal of the agency is effective in canceling the initial appointing of agency. Reish Lakish Amar Eino Chozeres, no, it cannot be done. Lo Asi Dibor, Mavatil Dibor, a subsequent declaration of disapproval cannot undo the initial appointment, initial agency. Eisve, Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. And you'll notice that the questions, as we mark them off initially with our triangles, appear here as well. And the sources are the same sources that we saw in under Roman numeral number 1. So Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Osi di mavatel dibor, raises an objection to Reish Lakish. A person was appointed to tithe his truma tithe, bitel. The owner canceled the agency. Imashelo toran bitel, ain truma so truma. If before the agent did the actual tithing, the agency was canceled, so the tithing that that agent would do afterwards would not be considered a tithing whatsoever. What do we see from here? That osi dibur, mavatel diburas, the discontinuation of the agency is effective to undo the initial agency appointment. This would be a problem then for Reish Lakish. Omar Rava, Hocha b'mayaskinon. The Rava says that the reason that the agency is voided is because here we're talking about Kagon Shekidan Balabais Vitaram as Kirio. It's a case where the owner himself sped on ahead of the agent and did the tithing himself. Toram is curio, curio, the word kri, he tithed, there's a pile of grain. The owner tithed before the agent had a chance to do thusly. The have le maise. That's an action on the part of the owner. Well, an action can certainly cancel speech. Eisve Reish Lakish the Rabbi Yochanan. Here we have the topic concerning the vessels that we spent a lot of time explaining before. No need to go over it again. And from this source that we'll read quickly, we see, like Reish Lakish, that lo asi dibur mavatel dibur. The source says, and here, once again, we're relying on our explanation from before. Kol ha-kelim yordim lidei tumasa b'machshava v'ein oylin mitumasan elo b'shinui maise. Maise moitzi miad maise u'miad machshava. Machshava eino motzia lo miad maise v'lo miad machshava. What's the strength of machshava? So it says at the end of this source, machshava's thoughts, which we together that with that we categorize speech. It's a non-action. Thoughts are not capable of undoing initial actions nor initial thoughts. Bishlamo miad maisilo mafka. I understand that a subsequent machshava cannot undo an initial action. Lo asidibur mavatel maisa. A subsequent discontinuation, disclaimer, disavowal does not undo an initial action. Ela miyad machshava miotopic. Why would you not say, if you, Rabbi Yochanan, are correct, let the second thought undo the initial thought? And you see from here that it doesn't work. The Gemara answers are malay shiny machshava de tuma. We explained this earlier, that the initial machshava that enabled the vessel to be susceptible to tuma, dechi maise dami. It's as if it were an action, uchrav papa, just like Rav Papa taught before, the Rav Papa Rami, ksiv ki tein, v'karina ki yutan, ha ketzad, ki yutan, duma di tein, ma yitein de nichole, af yutan, even when the water lands on the fruit passively, if it's nami de nichole, where you are happy with it, it's as if you physically put the wetness, the water on the fruit. So we see from that, as we said before, that the machshava in the realm of tuma is as if it were an action, and hence a subsequent machshava to undo the creation of susceptibility is not strong enough to do the initial machshava that created susceptibility, being that that initial machshava is termed like a maisa. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan and the Reish Lakish. Here we see Rabbi Yochanan asking Reish Lakish. By the way, the order of the questions here we had was a little different than before, but it's the same sources. It says here, and by the way, when we mentioned the order of the questions is different, you can see that very quickly by just looking at the triangles in the first Lushan in Roman numeral number 1. We had two triangles first pointing up, which was Rabbi Yochanan asking Reish Lakish, in the third triangle that was inverted. And here we have a sandwich structure where the first is against Reish Lakish, second against Rabbi Yochanan, and third against Reish Lakish. The Gemara continues, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish, Hashaleach get li'ishto, v'igia b'shaleach u'shasholach achrov shaleach, v'omerlo, and the husband said, get shenosati loch botelhu, Hare ze botel. The get that I gave you was void. That's it. There's no more agency. What do we see from here? That osi dibor umavatel dibor. The initial appointment, which was a verbal, is undone by a verbal discontinuation. Tiufta de Reish Lakish. Does this represent a refutation of Reish Lakish? Tiufta. Yes, it does. The hilchasa. Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan, we will rule like Rabbi Yochanan, namely osi dibur mavatal dibur vafivu b'komaisa. Even in the very first case, b'komaisa is a reference to Roman numeral number 1. V'afagav de'ikol ameimar. Even though in the case of Roman numeral number 1, which dealt with our Mishnah, where a man gave money to a woman in expectation of her marrying him after 30 days. And even though we saw the Svora, where Reish Lakish deflected our question by saying, we have a little arrow, by the way, which will help you find where this was stated on Omer Aleph, where Reish Lakish tried to say, well, the fact that the woman can, where Reish Lakish had said that the woman cannot back out because the giving of money to the woman was kemaisa domi, and it's not like the giving of the get to an agent, which is a mere dibor. So Reish Lakish had that, we'll say, that svora, which placed the giving of the money to the woman in marriage on a higher plane than mere dibor. Afilu hachi osi dibor umavatal dibor. Even so, we go like Rabbi Yochanan that said the woman's subsequent refusal to go through with the marriage undoes her initial acceptance of the money, which of course was on a delay basis for 30 days, and she rejected within the 30 days. We will follow Rabbi Yochanan that is enough for her to discontinue or derail the marriage from going through. The Gemara now raises a question. We have a long question marking. It's a question that involves a seeming contradiction in the way we make final rulings within these topics. Kashi hilchasa hilchasa. There seems to be a contradiction in final rulings. Amris hilchasok Reb Yochanan. On the one hand, you say we follow Reb Yochanan, which says Alsi Dibor Mavatal Dibor, her rejection of the going through with the marriage is effective. V'kaimalon hilchasok Rav Nachman. And on the other hand, we rule like Rav Nachman. What does that mean? We continue in the Gemara. Dibay Elah Omao Sheyachser V'Garish Bo. Can a man, after he had given a get to an agent to deliver to the woman, and was then mevatel the get, then canceled it? He canceled the agency. Can he later on use that get? Can he use it later on to divorce her? Rav Nachman, Omar, Chozer Megarish Bo. Yeah, you can use it. Rav Sheshes, Omar, Eino Chozer Megarish Bo. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Says, no, you can't use it. But Kaim alone, Hilchos Kodavasid Rav Nachman. And we rule like Rav Nachman that the husband can use it later on. Ah, but if you rule like Rav Yochanan, Osi Dibor, Mavatel Dibor, then when the husband cancels the agency, that's it. How can you use the get later on? But ruling like Rav Nachman, who says you can use the get later on, it sounds as if we don't say Osi Dibor Mevatel Dibor. The Gemara answers that there's no contradiction here whatsoever. Rav Nachman acknowledges Rav Yochanan that says Osi Dibor Mevatel Dibor. But in the case of the delivery of the get, what was being canceled? Nehi de batle mitora shaliach. Granted, the agency was disbanded. He voided the person from continuing to function as an agent for the delivery of the get. However, mitoras get lo batle, the paper itself, the on which the get was written, he didn't void the kashrus, the validity of that paper from being a get. So if later on he wants to use that very same document and appoint a new agent or himself give it to the woman, he can do that. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a quote from the Mishnah. We saw that a man who said, I want to be married to you after 30 days, and someone else came within 30 days and offered her marriage, and of course if she accepted, she would be married to the second party. And you can see the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, says, Mikudeshes Lasheni. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. Under the Nosei, the topic heading, it says, Machlekes Rav Shmuel, a disagreement will appear between Rav and Shmuel. Someone else came along and married her within the 30 days. She's married to the second fellow. Rav says, Mikudeshes Lasheni Lioilom. She is permanently married to the second fellow. Shmuel says, Mikudeshes V'eina Mikudeshes Elo Ad Shloshim. We'll see more about that. I should say, let me read that a little more accurately. Mikudeshes Lasheni Ad Shloshim Yom. She's considered married to the second guy, but up till the 30 days. Structurally, let's continue on the side of the Gemara. You'll notice that we have a mivne, a structural note, and aleph and beis. Those represent shnei lishonos. Aleze bova b'mishnah shoni machlokas Rav Shmuel. Regarding which section of the Mishnah does the machlokas Rav and Shmuel actually arise? Man de masni asefa. one who teaches this machlokes on the seifa of the Mishnah. The seifa, the third case of the Mishnah, dealt with a man saying, Me'achshov uli'achar shloishim yom. I am marrying you from today to take hold 30 days from now. What is meant when a person says or speaks like that? Me'achshov uli'achar shloishim yom. Rav takes the position, Sofek, ihave tnai oi chazora. There's a doubt. Is this a statement of condition, of stipulation, or is it a total back out on the man's part? If it's a stipulation, so he's saying, I want the marriage to start from now and let it take hold on condition that we reach the 30-day mark, then this marriage shall take hold. That would be a stipulation. It might be a back out where he initially says, I want you to be married from now. And then he says, no, not from now. 30 days from now. You'll ask, what difference does it make? So we'll see in the Gemara, we'll see that point elaborated on. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, if a person speaks like that, Me'achshov uli'achar shloshim yom, vadai t'nai. It's definitely a statement of condition, of stipulation, not a back out. The house marking that will appear very shortly in the Gemara is Litzor Kesher Bein Rav Chista V'Rav Yehuda. We want to create a sense of connection between the two, so this marking is used. Now we turn to the Gemara. We mentioned a man offered marriage to a woman to set in 30 days from now. Some other fellow came along within the 30 days and married her. The Mishnah says, Mikudeshes Lasheni. Omar Rav, Mikudeshes Lasheni Le'oilom. It's a permanent marriage to the second fellow. In other words, it's a full-fledged marriage that was done by the second fellow, which he had done before the 30-day mark, which the first man had expressed. Ushmul Omar Mikudeshes Lasheni Ad Shloshim Yom. She's married to the second fellow up till the 30-day mark. Liachar Shloshim Yom Paki Kiddushi Sheni V'Gamri Kiddushi Rishon. When the 30-day mark comes, the second marriage expires and the first marriage is then completed. Yosef Rav Chista V'Kokashile. Rav Chista sat and was thinking about this position, this description of Shmuel, and this statement of Shmuel, and Rav Chista was bothered and said, Kiddushi Sheni B'Mai Paki. What was the mechanism that caused the second man's marriage to expire? We don't see any divorce document in Shmuel's presentation. Shmuel acknowledged that the second fellow's marriage done within the 30 days mark was a legitimate marriage, so why doesn't it just continue? Omar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says to Rav Chista as follows, Mor aresha masni lo v'kashile. You presented the machlokas Rav and Shmuel on the resha. The resha was the second case of the Mishnah, where the husband, where the man did not say, Me'achshav uli'achar shloshim yom, and you ran into this very question, finding Shmuel difficult to understand. V'Rav Yehuda, aseifa masni lo, Rav Yehuda, as opposed to you, Rav Chista, teaches the machlokas Rav and Shmuel on the seifa, the third case of the Mishnah, below kashile, and he had no, and Rav Yehuda had no difficulty in explaining the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What does it say in the third case? Me'achshav uli'achar shloishim yom v'chule. A man said to a woman, "I'm giving you this money to be married to me from now and after 30 days." And we saw in the Mishnah that if a second man came along within the 30 days, the Mishnah said, Mikudeshes v'eino Mikudeshes. Now, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav, Mikudeshes v'eino Mikudeshes, that the Mishnah said, Lo'oilom. That's a permanent doubt. What do we do under circumstances like this? where there's a permanent doubt. So we take a look at Rashi. There's a star that we've put in the Rashi, a little less than halfway down to make it easier to find. Mikudeshes ve'ena mikudeshes li'oilam. V'afilachar shloshim oimedes besofi kidushishnehem. Even after the 30-day mark, in Rav's eyes, there's a doubt concerning both of the men. To whom is she married? V'yasura l'shnehem below get. Ho'echod. K'demeforesh taima l'kamon. And she remains osur to both of them without a get. So that, as far as Rav is concerned, when the Mishnah says Mekudeshes Veinu Mekudeshes, it remains a permanent doubt until there is a get. More will be explained on this later, as Rashi says, Kedem Eforish Taima L'Kamon. And Shmuel, we continue. Let's go back to the Gemara. Ushmuel Omar Mekudeshes Veinu Mekudeshes Elo Ad Shloishim Yom. She has this state of doubt, but up to the 30-day mark. The Achar Shloshim, after 30 days, Paki Kiddushisheni, V'Gamri Kiddushirishon, the second man's possible marital presence expires. He's out of the picture, where the first man's marriage becomes complete. And now, elaboration. L'Rav, as far as Rav is concerned, he's in doubt. Does the expression constitute a statement of condition, a stipulation, or a total rejection? Meaning, initially he says, I want to be married to you now, and then he says, no, I cancel the now, I want to be married to you only after 30 days. As a result of Rav's doubt, we see the position he took, namely, Mekudeshes Veinu Mekudeshes Li'olam. Unless something is done, the state of doubt will remain regarding both of the men. Before we even go on to Shmuel, let's go over Rav through Rashi. Misafkalei, Hai Li'achar Shloishim. Rav is in doubt that regarding the husband's comment of Li'achar Shloshim I Tanohave, was it a statement of condition? Namely, be married to me from now, and after 30 days, Im Lo Achsor Bi Basol Shloshim Yom, you Kedushim Me'ashav. If I don't back out within 30 days, then let our marriage take hold from now. I Chazorah Havoy Mimai Dekomar Me'ashav. Is the statement of Li'achar Shloshim a back out from what he said from right now? The Komar, and he's saying in effect, Eini Omer Me'achshav Elo Iskashi Li'achar Shloshim. I reject my initial statement of Me'achshav, and I'm saying I want you to be married to me only after 30 days. Hilkach Li'olam Hi Besfeka. Well, as a result, she remains in doubt. If the me'achshav l'achar shloshim yom is a stipulation, kiddushay rishon chayli, kiddushay sheni lo chayli, then the first one's marriage takes hold, not the second one's marriage. V'im chazor havei, and if it's a back out, and the second man came before the 30-day mark, kiddushay sheni chayli, kiddushay rishon lo chayli, the second man's marriage takes hold, and not the first one's. Now we go back to our Gemara text where we have squiggle underline. Shmuel, the Shmuel. When a man says, Me'achshav u'li'achar shloshim yom, pshito lei detno havoi. It's clearly a statement of a conditional or stipulation nature. And again, we go back to Rashi. The Shmuel, pshito lei detno havoi. Hilkoch kol shloshim yom havo kedushin tluyin. Therefore, within the 30 days, the Kiddushin is in suspense. Shemo Yachserbo, maybe he'll back out. However, me Shloshim Li'elech, from the 30-day mark and onwards, Gomru, the marriage is completed. He didn't back out. If he didn't back out within the 30 days. The Gemara continues and says that the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, actually parallels a machlokes tanoim. Ubeplukto dahani tanoi. The sanya. A man says to a woman, he says, this is your get, mehayom uli achar misa. From today and after I die. Maybe we should just point out that if a man says, Hare ze gitech li achar misa, this is your get after I die, everyone agrees that that's an invalid get because of the concept of the rule, ain't get li achar misa. A get does not function after the husband died. When a husband dies, she becomes a widow. She can't become then a divorcee after she became a widow from that man. Here, however, he's saying, I want this get to be yours, mehayom uli acharmisa. What does that mean? So the first opinion is, get v'eino get divrei chachomim. It's get v'eino get means we're in doubt. What does the acharmisa mean in his eyes? Is it a condition, meaning the get starts from today? If I die, let's say I die from this ailment, and when he dies, then if it's a stipulation, it's a get retroactively from the time that he gave it to her. However, it might be a statement of chazorah, of back out. He initially said, I want the get to be yours from now, and then he says, no, I want it to be a get after I die. And of course, that wouldn't be a get at all. Because of the rule, we said, ain't get la harmisa. So, a woman like this, upon the husband's death, is she a widow or is she a divorcee? And there are many ramifications to that, whether we categorize her as one or the other. So Rav says, we're in doubt. We continue in the Gemara. And I should say, not Rav, I should say the Chachomim say, we're in doubt, and that parallels the opinion of Rav. Rebbe Oimer kozeh get. Rebbe says this is a valid divorce. In other words, it's a condition. This is your get from today. If I when I die from let's say from this ailment, and then we say that when he dies, so she's retroactively divorced from the day that he gave her the get. Well, now that we've said that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel essentially is a Machlokas Tanoim, v'neimor Rav, why doesn't Rav simply say Halacha Kirabonon, v'neimor Shmuel Halacha Kirebi? Why doesn't Rav say in a more succinct, more popular, acceptable fashion, we rule like the Rabbonon, that when you have statements like this, Me'ayom Laharmisa, it's a suffake, and then I'll understand that me'achshav l'achar shloshim yom, it's also a suffake. And Shmuel, likewise, could he not have said we rule like Rebbe? And when you see an expression me'ayom l'achar misa, Rebbe says that's a valid get, and I'd understand on my own that me'achshav l'achar shloshim yom, with regard to a marriage, it's also considered a legitimate marriage to the first guy because it was a statement of condition of a stipulation nature. So why didn't Rav and Shmuel speak thusly? Halach k'rabbon, halach k'rebi. Why do things have to be spelled out? Why does Rav and Shmuel, in the case of the marriage, have to spell out their positions? Sricha, it's necessary. Di'ilu oma Rav halach k'rabbonon. If Rav would have said halach is like the rabbonon, that this kind of statement results in a doubt, have amina, I would have thought as follows. Hosam de rachuka kosi. There, the purpose of the get is to distance one from the other. The man is distancing himself. He's sending away the wife. Aval hocha de lukuva kosi. But in the case of marriage, if Rav had not spelled out his position, I would have thought Emo Moda Le Lishmuel de Tano Havi. I would have thought here's a man that's interested in marrying this woman. He's trying to draw her near unto himself. So there it's clearly a condition, a stipulation that the marriage shall start from right now when we reach the 30-day mark. And I haven't backed out since. So that the analysis in the case of get wouldn't necessarily apply to the case of marriage. Therefore, it's necessary to Rav to spell out his position with regard to marriage, because otherwise I would have thought he agrees with Shmuel. V'yomar Shmuel aloch k'Rebbe, and if Shmuel had ruled in the case of the get, he would have simply said aloch k'Rebbe, that me'alom hachamisa constitutes a stipulation and not a doubtful statement. Havamina, I would have thought Hossam, who there it's certainly a condition. The ain't get lacharmisa, because what other option do you have to say that he's backing out and saying I want this to be your get after my death? That's obviously meaningless, and everyone knows that. So a person wouldn't say something that has no meaning. Avolacha, the yesh kedushin lachar shloshim. But in the case of marriage, you can make a stipulation that the marriage should take hold 30 days from now, leaving room for him to change his mind. Maybe he has his mind on some other eligible bride. Maybe he has his mind on someone else. So, Emo Modi Le L'Rav. Maybe Shmuel would have agreed with Rav that it's not a that it's a statement of back out when he says mehayom or me'achshov ulachar shloshim yom, leaving us in a state of doubt. Tzricha. Therefore, it's necessary for Shmuel as well to spell out his position regarding marriage, not leaving us to conclude what his position would have been had he ruled simply like Rebbe in the case of divorce. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Ulatame de Rav. According to Rav, that Me'achshav Lacha Shloshim Yom is it's a suffix, whether it's a Tanai or Chazora. Imagine the following, and do note, by the way, that we have a long comment made by Abaye, and we've marked it accordingly. Bo echod v'omar lo hareat mekudesh esli me'achshav uliachar shloshim yom. Mr. One. And it's important for us to note the order of the men as they appear in this story. So the first guy says, I want to be married to you from now and after 30 days. So bo achir, Mr. Two comes and says, v'omar lo hareat mekudesh esli me'achshav uliachar esrim yom. From now and after 20 days. And Mr. 3 comes along, and we continue at the top of Daf Samach, top line. Uvo acher v'yomar lo hareat mekudesh esli me'achshav uliachar asara yomim. I'm married to you from now and after 10 days. This woman, if she wants to, let us say, marry someone else, what does she need to do in order to release herself from this state of doubt? Once again, we're working within Rav. Does this kind of expression of me'achshav uliachar X days constitute a stipulation, a condition, or a change of mind? So what will this woman have to do? The Gemara says, "May Rishon u me'achron tzricha get." She, in order to be able to marry some outsider, she would have to get a divorce from the first man. He was the fellow that said me'achshav lachar shloshim yom, and from the last guy, the guy who said me'achshav lachar asor yomim. Me'emsoi einot tzricha get. From the middle fellow, she doesn't need any divorce. And now the explanation. Monafshach. Either way you look at things, we have a choice of looking at things either as a tanai, a conditional statement, or a change of mind, a back out from the first word, the first comment. E teno havoy, if this type of speech of me'achshav li'achar x days is a stipulation, then dekamo kiddushi, the first fellow, the guy that said after today, from now and after 30 days, that's going to be the marriage. Dehanoch lav kiddushi, the other fellows are not married, not going to be married at all, because the woman is married to the first fellow. Of course, once you reach the 30-day mark, then retroactively we see that she was married from the very outset, leaving no room for the other two fellows to take hold. E chazor havoy, if each one of these statements of me'achshav u'li'achar x days represented a reversal of the me'achshav expression, so as far as the first guy was concerned, the marriage would have taken place only after 30 days, not me'achshav, because she backs out from that. The second guy, she would have been married only after 20 days. The third guy, she's married after 10 days. But once she reached the 10-day mark, so as the Gemara says, Ichazora havoy debasra kiddushi, she'd be married to the last fellow who said, from now and after 10 days, he's backing out from me'achshav, but saying, I will be married at the 10-day mark, leaving no room for the others. Dahanoch lav kiddushi, the other guys wouldn't be a marriage. That is the end of Abaye's statement. Interestingly, the Gemara says, pshita, this is obvious. In other words, once you establish that expressions like me'achshav u'li'achar x days creates a state of doubt, is it a tenai? Is it a stipulation? Or is it chazor? Is it back out? Then a case like this, you could have figured out on your own without Abaye spelling it out. What value was there in Abaye spelling it out? So, mahu de tamo, I would have thought without Abaye. Hai lishno mashma tano u mashma chazora. The expressions like this, stated by people, for some it might be a tanai, and for some it might be back out. And if you look at things like that, the tiboy gito miko chad v'chad, she would need a get from each one, including the second fellow as well. You might ask, well, how does that work? When we look in Rashi, you'll see exactly how that works. Komash malon, what Abaye tells us is that we don't look at these expressions of me'achshav u'li'achar x days as having both meanings to them, but rather either or. If it's taken to be a tanai, it means everyone that says it is going to be saying it in a tanai form, with a tanai understanding. If it's chazora, then everyone who uses that expression will be using it as a chazora, as a back out from his initial point. And not to think that some speak, use it this way and some use it that way. Now, we said that Rashi spells out how all three would have had to give a get according to the way we would have thought without Abaye. The Rashi that we're looking at, four lines from the top, Hai lishno mashma tano umashma chazora, shtei lishonos b'mashma. Both possibilities could be assumed. Yesh omra, some people will say it b'loshen tanai as a condition. V'yesh omra b'loshen chazora, and some will speak thusly as a backing out. V'iko l'meimar lahai tano lahai chazora. And as a result of that, not knowing what any one of these men thinks, maybe for this guy it might be a tanai, for this guy it might be chazora. V'tiboy gito, mikol chad v'chad, and as a result, I would have required a get from each one, including the middle guy. Dilmo, kamo l'chazora mechavein. Maybe the first guy who said from now and after 30 days, he was backing out of me'achshav, and the marriage, as far as he's concerned, would begin only 30 days from now. And if that's the case, v'cholu shelsheni, and that would leave room for the second one's marriage to take place, who the second fellow said, me'achshav l'achar esrim yom, after 20 days. V'sheni l'tano ichvin. And the second guy, when he said me'achshu v'lachash shloshim yom, he had in mind a statement of condition. V'shelo kayomin. And as such, when the 20-day mark would be reached, it would be retroactively a marriage from right now. V'ein shel rishon v'shel achron kiddushin. And if you accept that, then the last guy and the first guy would not be kiddushin. Ubayo gito mamtoy. You would need to get from the middle guy. Why would the first guy not be a marriage? Because when he says me'ach shalach shloshim yom, he was the last guy to appear. The second fellow had stated me'achshav uliachar esrim yom. His marriage would take hold retroactively from right now, preempting the first guy as well. Let me add, just for the sake of accuracy, the Tosfos Ri Hazoken adds that in this situation, the 30-day guy and the 10-day guy as well had a Loshon of Chazorah, and the 20-day guy, the middle guy, he was a Loshon of Tanai, and in a case like that, then his marriage would have taken hold, precluding the first and third fellow's marriage from taking hold. That's one possibility. V'ikol ha-meimar, Rashi goes on, second triangle in Rashi, v'ikol ha-meimar, de kamo tano. The first fellow was in terms of a stipulation, v'shelo kayomin. And since he was the first one to speak, when the 30-day mark arrives, so retroactively, his marriage takes hold. V'ikol ha-meimar, de kulhu. There's room to think, maybe, that all of them, chazorah, that all of them were actually back-out type statements. V'shel achron levad kayomin. And in that case like that, then the last guy alone, the one who said after 10 days, his marriage would be the marriage. Komash malon, what Abaye reveals to us is the lav travayu mishtamoy mino. That when you see me'achshav l'achar ex yomim, we don't say both possibilities are to be assumed. Elo, sofek tano, sofek chazorah. There's a doubt whether it's a condition or a back out, v'itanahu, and if it's to be viewed as a condition, l'kulu havatanoi. Everyone would have stated it in a tanai fashion. V'ein loshen chazorah klal, and there's no back out whatsoever. V'i chazorah havi. And if it's a back out, lo havi bei lishna tano klal, then there's no room to suspect a condition. Umi monav shach, and therefore either way you look at it, emtsoi lo havi condition. The middle fellow is not going to be a marriage, and hence no need for her to bother receiving a divorce from him in order to marry some outsider. We continue in the Gemara. Ula Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and what we've done by way of markings, we've highlighted Rabbi Yochanan with a double underline to point out that Ula and Rav Asi both quote Rabbi Yochanan, and he represents a third opinion. Ula Omar Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Me'a Toifsin Ba. When you have a series of men saying mehayom ulachar x days, and each person gives a different number of days, even 100 men could take hold. V'chein omar Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan afilu mea toipsin ba. Even 100 men could take hold. Omar le Rav Misharshia breda Rav Ami the Rav Asi. Rav Misharshia says to Rav Asi, Asper loch time of the Rabbi Yochanan. I'll explain to you what's behind Rabbi Yochanan. And he explains Rabbi Yochanan through an analogy. Shavu nafshei, each man makes himself like he shrugged the livni, like the way you construct a wall made of a row of bricks. When you pile bricks one on top of the other, You don't pile them in perfect columns of bricks, one on top of the other, and the next row one on top of the other. Rather, you have them you pile up the bricks, the lowest row, and then above that in a staggered fashion, the next row, and likewise the third row. The chol chad v'chad, each brick, revocha l'chavrei shovak, leaves a little space for the next one. So by way of illustration, we have included a little illustration on the side which we took from the Rashi. So you have thing, you'll say the lowest row of bricks in our illustration we've called 1, 2, 3, and 4. So brick 1 has room upon it for the second row, bricks Aleph and Beis. Brick number 2 has room upon it for bricks Beis and Gimel. And brick number 3 has room upon it for bricks Gimel and Daled. That's the analogy. In order to appreciate this a little bit more, we look at Rashi. First Rashi, Asbaroloch. This is Rav Misharshia telling Rav Asi, I'll explain to you what Rav Yochanan means when he says even 100 take hold. Toha leko lemeimar time of the Rav Yochanan mishum dekosov ha-shtei lishonos mashma. We're not going to look at Rav Yochanan like we've done till now, that me'achshav l'achar x days is a function of a possible double a choice of what it might mean. And that Rabbi Yochanan's ruling is a function of maybe with regard to this man, he speaks in terms of a condition, and this man speaks in terms of a bat. The expression that Rabbi Yochanan used, toifsin, which is a loshen of majority of rabbim, wouldn't be shayach, wouldn't have relevance. The ain tfisa ela b'chad mehen. If the reason for Rabbi Yochanan was a function of doubt, then the taking hold of marriage would have relevance only to one of all of those men. V'anan hu de lo yadinon heininu. And it's we who don't know who the one man is. However, umidiktoni toifsin, from the fact that Rav Yochanan chose the word toifsin in the plural, mashma desfir leshiyesh bo tzad kiddushin likulhu, there's room to suggest marriage taking hold regarding all of the men. Rashi continues, teshavu nafshayu kishroga delivni. The people, when they speak like this, one after the other, make themselves like a row of bricks. Hamesadi levenim, a person who sets up bricks, v'rochav kulon shova, and all the bricks are of equal dimension. Eino mesader mamish zu al gavzu. He doesn't make columns of bricks, one literally on top of the other. Dimkena rei shura chitzon and nefelis v'chaverta charel. Then one row after the other will fall over. Elo mesader tchila zu etzel zu. V'chozer mesader olea shura cheres. What Rashi is saying, that though we've read it quickly, is simply is describing the diagram that we have illustrated. Each, let's say, lower row of bricks has the ability to have two bricks, partial representation of two bricks upon any given lower brick. And thusly, as you complete the wall. Ha nami. Now, after having read the example, the analogy, what is it for us? So to here, kol echod motza mokim zman poni likedushin. V'tafsu kulon liosra. And therefore, they all take hold. Mr. One says, I'm marrying you from today, from now, after 100 days. Next guy says, I'm marrying you from today, after 99 days. So, between 99th day and the 100th day, there's room for the 99 gay to take hold. And likewise, down the line, we said even 100 people like that. So there's an element of time available for each one to take hold. That's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. We continue in the Gemara. And now you'll notice we have a long question marking. Mosiv Rav Chanina. This question, by the way, is going to bring to the fore all three opinions, and we'll see that the question is focused on Rabbi Yochanan. That's why earlier I mentioned that Rabbi Yochanan represented a third opinion, and I think that Rashi also was pretty clear in his allusion to that when we started with the Rashi Asbar Aloch. So Mosiv Rav Chanina, the long question begins. Mehayom lachar misa, a man says to a woman, "Here is your get from now and after I die." It was from today and after I die, if I die from this ailment. Get v'eino get. V'im meis chiletzes v'loi misyabemes. If he dies and he had no children and there's a surviving brother, so she will do the shoe removal ceremony with her brother-in-law, but not marry him. Not do yibum. Bishlama l'rav misayalei. As far as Rav is concerned, this source supports Rav very, very smoothly. Again, when you have an expression, mayom uliachar misa, Rav said that's a suffix. Does he mean that the get should be a get from now? Or is he backing out? And when he says achar misa, maybe he's backing out from his statement of being today, or it's a stipulation that when he dies from this ailment, retroactively it'll be a get from today. Well, Rav has a doubt about it, and the source itself said get feino, get an expression of doubt. V'shmuel nami, as far as Shmuel is concerned, ho moni rabbonon hi. This Shmuel, who spoke in terms of mehayom l'achar misa or me'achshuv l'achar shloshim yom, Shmuel will tell you that this Shmuel, who said that that expression is a Tanai, will tell you that this Tanaic source, Hamani Rabbanani, this source is in accordance with the Rabbanan, V'anodi Amri Karebi, and I hold like a different Tanaic authority, namely Rebbe. And you can see back on Daf Nun Tesomit Beis, we have a star that draws your attention to the lower part of Amid Bey, Nun Tes Amid Beis, and there we saw how Mehayom Lachar Misa, Rebbe said that's a straightforward get, it's conditional. It's not a back out. So this source represents the opinion of the Rabbanan, and we saw this beferish, we saw this explicitly back on Nun Tes Amid Beis in the source that was quoted, Mehayom Lachar Misa, it said get Venu get Divrei Chachamim. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. Rebbe or Shmuel doesn't hold by that. Shmuel holds like Rebbe. So this source isn't the problem. It's simply one Tanaic approach. Ela l'Rabbi Yochanan d'yomar shiura have. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that when you have a series of people that say mehayom or me'achshav l'achar shloshim yom, me'achshav l'achar eshrim yom, etc. and so forth, that each one is leaving a little space for the next. That's called a shiur, something is left over. Well, if you translate that into the get situation, a person says, mehayom lachar misa, there's today, but not completely from today. There's a shiur, there's something left over, it's not a complete break. Kol gita de meshayer ba, v'lav v'lo klumhu. A get that's not a complete break, that there's something left over, that's nothing. There's no divorce whatsoever. And if a guy gave a get to his wife like this, following Rabbi Yochanan's approach, she's not divorced at all. A get must be a complete break, not with something left over, unclear. And therefore, Yibum should be a possibility. Why would the source say not Velomis Yabemes? So let's continue reading. According to Rabbi Yochanan, any get de mishayba velo klum hu yibumi miyabem, then yibum should have been an option. The Gemara answers, Omar Rava. By the way, Rava is labeled number one. You'll see Abaye number two on a few lines from now. Omar Rava. Get lahoitzi. Umisa lahoitzi. A get is designed to separate the marriage, to send her away. Misa creates a separation as well. As we say, till death do them part. Mashishir beget, get, whatever was incomplete vis-a-vis the get, gamrasoi misa, the death finishes it off. So you have a woman that essentially is divorced, and the divorce was completed by his death. Therefore, there's no yibum, because she's a divorcee. And a man who divorces his wife, she is strictly forbidden to ever marry the husband's brother. Omar le Abaye, mi domi. Abaye says, how can you compare the two? The idea of get and misa both being lahotzi. Mi domi, get motzio mirshus yavam. The get distances her from the brother-in-law. Misa machnisa lirshus yavam. Death brings her into the domain of Yibum. In fact, says Abaye, that the get and the misa have opposite effects. Elo Omar Abaye. Hosom time omai. In the case of Hayom Lachar Misa, as far as the source is concerned, which says Chaylesis Velomis Yabemes, and we're working within Rabbi Yochanan. Why do you say Chaylesis Velomis Yabemes? And even though there's no Gerushin at all, there was we said it was a Shiur Beget. There was no Gerushin at all, and therefore there's room to allow Yibum. So why is there no Yibum? Gezeira Mishum Mehayoim im Mesi Hare Zeget. There's another expression which sounds very similar, but here he says, this is your get from now, if I die from this ailment. Notice he's not saying Mehayom Ula Achar Misa, but he's saying Mehayom im Mesi. And a case like that, that's a definite divorce. That's a clear stipulation. And when he dies, she's divorced retroactively, and it was strictly forbidden for her to do Yibum. So as a result, even in the case of Mehayom Lachar Misa, since it's similar to this Mehayom Imesi, we don't want you in the case of Mehayom Lachar Misa doing Yibum. Because if we allow Yibum there, you'll allow Yibum over here. But in this case, Mayomi Macy, she's literally a divorcee. Well, now that we've introduced this idea of Gezerah, we have a suggestion. V'nigzar Mehayomi Macy, which we said is clearly a divorce. De Tachlots, we should say, do chalitza, which we don't, but we should say you should do chalitza in a case like that. Otu mehayom lachar misa, in anticipation of confusing this with the case of mehayom lachar misa. What did we rule in the case of mehayom lachar misa? In that case, we ruled that you should do chalitza. And in that case of Mehayom Lachar Misa, as far as Rabbi Yochanan was concerned, it's definitely not a get. So why is it that in the case of Mehayom Im Mesi, why don't we require Chalitza, just like we do in the case of Mehayom Lachar Misa? The Gemara answers, Imato Imer Chaylitzes, if you're going to say, do Chalitza in the case of Mehayom Im Mesi, and the case of Hayom Zezis is a definite divorce. If you're going to say du chalitza misyabemes, people will confuse and say in another case just like that, you can do yibum. So, you know, like they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Where you see chalitza, you would say there's yibum. And in a case like that, where there was Hayomi Mesi, if we're going to say Chalitz and someone else is going to do Yibum in a similar case, that's a strict Esor. There you're dealing with an actual divorcee. She's a Grusha. So we don't want to take any chances. And therefore, in the case of Meomala'u Mehayomi Mesi, no Chalitza. We just leave her as a divorcee and let her marry anyone else she wants without Chalitza. Question. Well, Hochanami, then here too in the case of Mehayom Alachar Misa. What did we say in the case of Mehayom Alachar Misa? We said she should do Chalitza. And the Tanaic source said, Chalitza but no Yibum. Ah, but Matoim Chalitzis Misyabemes. If you're going to say do Chalitza, well, that will lead other people to do Yibum in a case like that. And we said above not to. The Gemara answers, If the worst case scenario is her coming to do Yibum, it's, as they say, nisht gefelach, it's not the end of the world. Tisyabem v'ein bekach klum. If what are you worried about? In the case of Mayom Lachar Misa, by saying du chalitza, she might come to do Yibum. But think about it. Mayom Lachar Misa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no get whatsoever. There's a shiur. And being that there's no get whatsoever, when the guy dies, she's a widow. And if there's a surviving brother, technically speaking, she could have done Yibum. And that's what we're saying. Tisyabein vein bekach klum, let her do Yibum. Chashosh derabbanan hu. Our whole concern above in saying don't do Yibum, in other words, it's what we said, do chalitza and don't do Yibum, was a rabbinic concern. Namely, confusing the case of Mehayom Alachar Misa with the case of Mehayom Im Mesi. And since it's a mere chashash derabbanan, within the case of Mehayom Alachar Misa, if she would actually do Yibum in a case like that, there would be no Torah level violation because the get was not a get whatsoever because of the idea of shiur. Beget, it was left over. There was something left over. It wasn't a complete break, as Rabbi Yochanan above explained in the parallel case of marriages. Each one left room for the other one's marriage to take hold. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.